Romans chapter 14, that's where we're going to start off at. Just to recap briefly where we were at last week, we were in Romans 13, 1 through 14. We're talking about the fulfillment of the law, how it's love. And we know that everything is summed up in that word love. We talked about that there is no authority except from God, verses 1 through 3, and God appoints these authorities in our lives, and we're to be subject to them, and whenever we're not subject to them, sometimes we pay consequences, and we understood and we saw how every soul is to be subject to these as unto the Lord. And if we resist, we see that we bring judgment upon ourselves. If we're disobedient to our employers at work, or perhaps our parents, if those of us who are younger and live under our household of a parent, and we see all these different authorities that God has placed in our life for our protection and our safety, as we saw that they are there to protect. They're there to govern the evildoers, not the doers of good. We saw the proper conduct in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, being subject to the rulers and authority, again there it mentioned, and being ready for every good work, being peaceable, showing humility, avoiding disputes of genealogies and strivings about the law, because the law is filled up in one word, which is love. The fulfillment of the law is love. And we talked about putting on Jesus Christ, making no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts of it. And we talked about how there is lusts of flesh. There's many different areas. We tend to associate that word with sexual immorality right off the bat. At least I do. That's what pops into my head when you speak of lusts. But our flesh lusts against many different areas of our spirit. Wanting to lie, wanting to cheat, wanting to all these different things that our flesh just likes to do. And we said, make no provision for the flesh. Don't set yourself up. If you know you're weak in one area and you have a certain lust that's drawing you away to one thing, make a provision against it. Make no provision for it. Keep yourself clean and pure as much as you can. Not becoming a hermit and hiding out in the top of the Himalayas with the snow leopards, you know. Just making provisions. Well, what do you mean, Pete? I don't understand. Well, how do I make provisions? Getting up in the morning, spending that time with the Lord. As you spend time with the Lord, and as we do that, our personal walk gets better and better. Being drawn to the Lord and walking step by step closer with Him. And it's so important for us to have our personal walk, God instructing us in all the different areas. That's how we make no provisions for the flesh. Guarding ourselves. So all these different things that God has allowed us to be able to prepare ourselves so that we make no provisions for that flesh. Brings us to chapter 14, verse 1. And in chapter 14, verse 1, the title of the message, Don't Be a Stumbling Block and Give Thanks. That's pretty much what the message is all about. Not being a stumbling block and giving thanks regarding days or weeks or months or foods and how important is that really. So in verse 1 of chapter 14, it says, Receive one who is weak in faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. It talks about God, Jesus Christ, though He was rich, living in glory. Can you imagine living in glory and everything's available to Him? He is the Prince of Peace. And yet He leaves that position to come down to our level, if you will, just for us. And now we talked about receive one who is weak. We're going to be looking at people that are weaker in the flesh than perhaps you. Maybe you've grown a little bit more than others and you're able to have that freedom in Christ in a godly way. But yet you see others struggling in different areas. If God Himself was able to leave heaven to humble Himself before us, how much more us that we should be able to reach out to others. Pick up the hand of a child when he's fallen. How many of you have done that? All of us have done that. And you see, there's children in Christ that are young in the faith, though they may have known the Lord for 20 years. They may be young in their faith and they're not quite mature and they're weak, if you will. Grab their hand. Help them along. Don't put them down. Don't talk down to them as we're some kind of intellectual being that needs to address everything intellectually. Love them. In loving them, you fulfill the law. You're helping them, giving them a hand. For one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. I love that verse because I love meat. I'm sorry, I love meat. You know, but in jest, of course, but there's some people who won't, and that's okay. There's different reasons. There's dietary reasons, and there's just a preference, and that's all fine. But what he's talking about here is some, when they're tied to the law at this time, the Jewish culture, and some just wouldn't eat certain meats, mostly those that were offered up to idols. But there was other Christians who were a little bit stronger in their faith, and they thought, it doesn't bother me. Yeah, but you're eating meat that was sacrificed to an idol. It was a good deal. It was on sale. And it doesn't bother them because they understand the words of Jesus that things that go into the mouth go through the digestive system and just pass out. It's the things that come out of the mouth that defile a man. And they understand that. Therefore, they're a little bit stronger than perhaps some of the brothers at the time. And said, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God received him. To eat or not to eat? That's the question. Do we eat the meat or do we not eat the meat? Well, it's up to you. You need to seek the Lord and see what your convictions are. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 through 23. It says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is Christ. See, sometimes the ritualistic things that we do, in this case, they're talking about the ritualistic things that the Jews did. But we all have ritualistic things that we do. You and I both, as Christians. But regarding Sabbath or new moons, these are just a shadow of things to come. So if you regard certain days above other days, well, praise God. It's just a shadow. Well, some of us don't regard certain days. Well, praise God. It's just a shadow. You know, there's some people that celebrate Christmas, knowing where the background came from. We understand that, the pagan background that comes through it. But some people just want Christmas because, hey, we've changed it. We've redeemed it, if you will. Now it's a time where we celebrate the Lord's birth. Even though it's not the right timing or anything, it's just a day. Others esteem it and others don't. Oh, praise God. It's not, those are just shadows of things we do here. The substance is Jesus Christ. How many of you can go up to a shadow and hug it? How many of you, as you see your spouse walk by and you run over there, you just need a hug and you go right straight to the shadow? There's no substance. They're just shadows of what's real, of what's true, of what you know is real. Jesus Christ is real. He's the substance. The rest of things are just shadows. Things that sometimes just help us feel better and closer to the Lord. I understand that. But know this. As we spend time with the Lord, that's the substance. He's the one that we stay close to. It goes on to say, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Let no one cheat you by taking delight in false humility. Notice that false humility is not a good thing. You can see false humility sometimes when we try and portray it, or we know when we're pushing forth false humility. Yet spending time with the Lord, the humility that you get from that is real. He says, don't be cheated. Or about these worshiping of angels, intruding into things that nobody, they haven't even seen. They're being vainly puffed up saying, I saw an angel this day, and we start going off, or they start going off. That they're somehow more spiritual than you are because of certain things. We're here to edify the body. We just studied last week. We're here to encourage one another, not vainly puff ourselves up as to what we think we are. And not holding fast to the head from which all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. We see that therefore, if you've died with Christ from the basic principle examples of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? In other words, don't be moved by things that are not of the Spirit. People vainly puffed up, braggarts, if you will. Don't be moved by days or weeks. The substance is Christ. Focus on that. And if you do the days, great. If you don't do the days or hold them in esteem, fine. Back in Romans chapter 14, it says that, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. That's key. God is receiving. If that person who eats, he eats unto the Lord, and God's receiving him. Or that person who abstains from certain foods, he does it unto the Lord because of his love for the Lord, and God receives him. Who are you to judge another's servant? It'd be foolish for me to go into a business where there are servants, where there's people that are working there under perhaps a friend of mine, their household, and tell the servants what to do. It's not my place. Even so, who are we to judge people because they eat or don't eat? We're here to love one another. To his own master he stands or falls. That servant, whatever that servant's doing is of no concern of mine. It's to that owner of the business. Even so, unto the Lord, you guys are his. Foolish for me to say, you shouldn't be eating that. You're free in Christ. Well, maybe she's not. In her heart, she knows that she has to abstain from that. That's okay. Do it as unto the Lord. He's the one who received. God alone is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. To observe or not to observe? Again, that is the question. Observe the day. It says, some observe the day. If you observe the day, well then, observe it unto the Lord. Observe it unto God. Know that that's your heart. And say, God, you know, I like this day. To me, it's a holy day, Lord. It's a different day. And I want to observe it as unto you. I'm going to commit this day to you, Lord God, and, you know, be it Easter or Christmas or a Sabbath or whatever day it may be. And you say, God, I just want to take this time to praise you, to worship you, to sanctify myself before you. And if you observe the day, well, then observe it to the Lord. And then there are some who say, I don't need to observe the day. To me, it's just a day. Every day is alike. I try and live my life every single day for the Lord, so I don't really observe days. I recognize them, but you know. Well, then if you don't observe the day unto the Lord. Knowing that you're free in Christ to be able to say, you know what? December 25th. I love it. It's fun. I like having the kids around. That's great. But you know what? I know it's not the birth of Jesus. It's not his birthday. I know that. And I'm not going to get all bent out of shape, you know, if I don't go to church on Christmas or I don't do certain things. If you don't observe it, then don't observe it unto the Lord. Knowing your freedom in Christ is what he's saying. Verse 6, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord. If he doesn't, he does not observe it to the Lord. And he who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. That's the key right there. If you don't get anything else from this message, get that. I'm going to read it again. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, and for he gives thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. How many of you woke up this morning and just kind of, oh, God, you know, thank you, Lord, thank you. My eyes can barely see, but I can see I'm still alive. I haven't moved, but I'm sure I'll start moving any second here, Lord. Thank you. If you haven't done that, do it now. Just say, thank you, Lord. I got so busy, Lord, I just got up and I had 100 things to do and I had to run to church and I got to do this and I got to do that. Oh, God, I didn't even pray. God, thank you for being so forgiving. Thank you that you understand when I'm pressed by things and I take off on my own and God, that's just my stupid flesh. Lord God, my desire to be in control of my own life. Forgive me, Lord. I give you thanks. Thank you for this day. We forget so many things. Sometimes we forget, have you ever done something for someone? You've done a nicety, you know, to someone. And they walk away. Okay. And you're just kind of left like, you know, we shouldn't expect it, but we do. We're human. We kind of expect, man, I went out of my way. And we're just kind of left there with our mouth open. Or sometimes we do that. If I ever do that to you, please forgive me. Sometimes because I'm thinking of 100 different things all at once, you know. Sometimes I'll even feel guilty and I'll call somebody and say, you know what, I just meant to tell you thanks, but everything was so busy and I just wanted to take the time. Take the time to say thanks. That's the key. Of everything that we're just talking about, to eat or not to eat, to observe or not to observe, the whole point is those are shadows of substance. What's real? Go to that which is real and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Luke chapter 17, if you will turn there, in verse 11, giving thanks, that's the key. It says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed, speaking of Jesus, Jesus passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Why did they stand afar off? Because they were lepers. In those days, the cultural thing or the religious thing or the safe thing to do was to stand afar off. When you were a leper, they were not allowed to go into the public and mingle, if you will. If I was a leper and you guys are standing there, you'd be in danger, they believe, because of the disease floating off and attaching itself to you. So they were instructed, and it was law. They knew that they were to stand a minimum of 50 yards downwind from anyone. Leprosy is a numbing disease. It numbs the senses or the feeling in the body. Even so, the lepers are known to bump up against things and cut big gashes in themselves by accident, or when they're working, they smash their hands. They don't even know it sometimes, and it's just for there's bleeding going on because it numbs the body. There is no feeling, and because it numbs the body, they can do great harm to themselves if they're not careful. Even so, what leprosy does to the body, sin does to our spirit. It numbs us. Sin, as we start to indulge in sin, start to make provisions for the flesh, and you know what I mean. We set ourselves up to fail. And as we do that, sin starts to infect our body. And this sin becomes numbing to our spirit so that our spirit starts not responding to the move of God in your life anymore. The Holy Spirit is with you. In fact, the Bible says it's in you and upon you. And therefore, we react to the Spirit if we're drawing close to the Spirit. But as we pull away into sin, we start to become numb. Our spirit becomes numb. We don't feel the way we feel. So-and-so's parent died. I never liked him anyway. We start to become numb. So-and-so is having a hard time. Well, they got themselves into it. Let them get themselves out of it. And we start to become numb to the things of God, to what God has called us to do. You wake up in the morning and all of a sudden it's like, I really don't want to spend time with the Lord. You know, I prayed last week or day before yesterday. You know, I've prayed my whole life. I don't need to pray every single day. I don't need to pray always, all like the Bible says. No, I don't need to pray for all men. I'll pray for a few, but and we start to get numb. And when we get numb, we start pulling away from the truths of that which is real. And we start falling into that which is a shadow of the things to come. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because when you start worshiping shadows, there's nothing there. And you don't even realize you're falling further and further away from the grace of God. Leprosy, it numbs the body. Sin, it numbs the spirit. They stood afar off. And because they were afar off, they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. How many of you have cried that at some point in your life? Where you come to a crossroad, and maybe it's because you've pulled away from the Lord and you've fallen into shadows of the substance that is real. And you've been chasing shadows and you recognize, I can't do this anymore. It's not fulfilling the need that I have. And you cry out to the Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. I need you. I'm sick. I have something afflicting me, Lord God, whether it's in my physical body or in your spiritual body, if you will. And you know there's a need, and you cry out to Him. What they did is a good thing. We need to cry out to the Lord, especially when we're afar off, especially when we've drifted away from those that are our family, those that we need to have communion with, those that are the body of Christ. And we've drifted away. We're 50 yards, 60 yards, 100 yards away from the body of Christ, from being nurtured where we need to be, where God has planted us. And we cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, as they did. So when they saw them, He said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, go and show yourselves to the priest. What He's telling them is, in Leviticus, it mentions that if a leper or someone who is sick is healed, what do they need to do? They need to go show themselves to the priest. Notice, they're not healed yet. They're merely crying out to the Master. And Jesus, how does He respond? Totally untypical of what the custom of the day is. He says, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, if you were an arguing man or woman, you'd say, well, what do you mean, Jesus? How can I go show myself to the priest? I have leprosy, don't you understand? How can I go over there? I'm not supposed to be around anybody. I'm not supposed to even go there until I'm healed. You see, we have all kinds of excuses for not following the Word of God. God tells us, go and do something. Go and be someone. Go and minister to someone. And what do? I can't do that. No, I'm not God. You see, when God speaks to you, do it. You'll be blessed, I guarantee. Maybe you're not praying in the morning. Maybe you're not praying with your spouse. Maybe you're not praying with your kids. Maybe you're not involved in any kind of Bible study. Maybe all these maybes that could be in your life. And you know God is calling you. Step out and do it. Watch God work in your obedience. The first thing is they were obedient. Go, show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. As they were in motion. Be in motion. If God is telling you to do something in your walk, start to walk that walk. Even if you don't understand it, in this Jewish mindset, they didn't understand what Jesus was saying, I guarantee you, because they weren't supposed to go there until after they were cleansed. In their obedience, they started walking. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Start walking in what God has told you to do, and as you start walking in that, watch God work. Watch Him work. Don't hold back. So it was, they were cleansed, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, a life returned to him, for he was headed to certain death. That's what leprosy will do. It'll eventually kill you. That's what sin will do. It'll eventually kill you. As he walked away in obedience to the Lord, he saw that he was healed. He recognized his life is going to be different from that point on. And he returned with a loud voice and glorified God. And then he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He fell on his face. How many of you this week have fallen on your face? Well, you don't understand, Pete. You know, things are bad, man. Things are really bad. I have nothing to be thankful for. Oh, yes, you do. There is always something to be thankful for. In fact, if you really take an account of all the bad things that are going on in your life, perhaps, or the hard things, the difficult things in your life today, if you compare it and make a list, you have way, way more things to be thankful for. Way more, I guarantee you. He fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus. It's something we should do even when things are going good. Falling down on our face. Oh, and by the way, he was a Samaritan, it says. We sometimes, as Christians, we're so blinded by the ritualistic things that we do. Going to the temple, have a walk. Start putting it in practicality in your life. Be practical with the Word of God and apply it to your life. Start walking in the things that God has called you. Some of you have maybe never seen a miracle. You've never seen God move in a mighty way in your life. Oh, you've seen it in others, but you've never seen it in yourselves. Start walking in the ways of Christ. Start walking and see what healing is around the corner for you. See what miracle is around the corner for you. See what God will show you. He was a Samaritan. You know, the Jews despised Samaritans. Yet he's the one who came back. We always hear of the good Samaritan. Here we see the thankful Samaritan. Willing to take the time to turn aside, to the Lord and say thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all things the Bible says that we're to do. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Now Jesus is God. I'm pretty sure he can count. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Shame on us as Christians when we refuse or forget or neglect to give thanks to our God, our Savior, who has delivered us from so many things, who provides protection each and every day. Angels are all around us, guarding us. If we were to be able to glimpse into that spiritual realm and see all the angels around us, foolish for us to get mad when traffic holds us up, and if you're like me, you'd want to be on time for every little thing, and it drives people nuts. When I can't be on time, I get nervous, you know, I start. And Yvonne tells me, babe, chill out. Oh, babe, I hate to be late. Chill out. Maybe this traffic jam is to protect us from a wreck up ahead. You don't know what God puts in your path, and he's doing it for your protection, your safety, to keep you safe. Angels all around. We see walking in obedience, giving him thanks, and giving him glory. That's what it's all about. He saw that he was healed, the Samaritan. He returned to God. He glorified God. He fell at his feet. He gave thanks. And yes, he was a Samaritan. Back in Romans, as we close, it says in verse 7, for none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. If we do, we're wrong. We really are. Because the book of James in chapter 3, verse 16 says that wherever envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. Is there confusion in your life? You need to do a heart check. Check and see if there's self-seeking in your home, in your heart. If there is, there's a good chance, there's 100% chance that that self-seeking is causing envy. It's causing confusion in your life. But when we lay down our life, even as Christ, as we saw, left glory to lay down his life for us, if you leave that glorious self-image that you have of yourself and lay it down to minister to someone, be it your wife, your kids, your friend, whomever, maybe even a Samaritan, those who we think, oh, God will never work in their life. I don't even want to bother talking to him or her. Wrong. God's ways are different than ours. His economy is different than ours. For if we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Let's do the work that God has called us to do. Let's be the men and women that God has called us to be. For many of us, it's not that we don't know what God wants from us. It's that we know and we won't go to where God wants us to go. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt? Or basically disregard. Why do you disregard one another, he says? Your brother, why do you disregard them? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Don't you understand? Why are you judging your brother? Why are you disregarding him? Why are you not concerned with them? Why? Don't you know we're going to stand in judgment? For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. That should be a motivating factor for the things that we do in our life one to another. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. What a simple, simple verse right there. When I read that, I was just like, wow, it's amazing. It doesn't get any more simple than that. Therefore, because God is God, and we're going to bow before him, and we're going to have to confess that he is God, why do I want to walk in there with stain-filled garments? Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. You eat steak. You don't. You regard a day. You don't. Who cares? Do you love the Lord? Oh, I love the Lord. Well, why do you eat meat? Because I love the Lord. I'm convinced he loves barbecues because he had these sacrifices and the fat belongs to the Lord. I eat all the fat I can. You're giving thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you've allowed me to eat so. You don't eat meat. Thank you, Lord. I love vegetables. makes me healthy. I just love the way I feel. God, thank you. I don't regard the day. I do. Do you do it unto the Lord? Do you have a heart for God? Is your walk based on your ritualistic view of God or your personal relationship with Him? Let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in your brother's way. That's beautiful. Just don't try and stumble. I love meat. Cool. Don't say, well, you shouldn't eat meat, blah, blah, blah. I love vegetables. Well, you shouldn't eat vegetables because, you know, parasites, you know, and we have all these stupid things that we come up with. It says, don't cause them to stumble. If they're a weaker brother, help them. Don't cause them to stumble. Because of the nature of this being a stumbling block, I wrote a poem. It's called A Shakespearean Moment by Pete Martinez. To eat or not to eat? That is the question. Is it far better for a man to eat vegetables or meat? For to me, it matters not, as long as I do eat. I never know if I should drink water or wine. I figure it really doesn't matter as long as I get to dine. For is it not more noble to eat on the Lord's day? I don't know the answer, so I just eat every day. The questions before us have troubled us from the start. I guess what really matters is what God has laid on your heart. So eat the food or observe the day as long as you walk the walk. But do all things in love so that you don't become that dreadful stumbling block. That's the key. Do all things unto the Lord. Be a light. Love one another. Just have fun serving God. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, that
you will not let in anything or anyone, Lord God, that will defile us. For you have sanctified. You have touched us and made it clean. Lord God, fill us with your presence. Let ministering angels be about. Let people be ministered by your Spirit one to another as the body of Christ ministers to one another. Ministering angels all around.
We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you guys. Have a blessed week.